Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2015, and I am Senator Mia Costello, and I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Giesel, Senator Stevens, Senator President of the Senate, Senator Meyer, and Senator Ellis. Today our recording secretary is Carrie and the LIO operator is Jessica. I want to thank you for being with us today to make it possible to have this hearing. Today we have three bills on the agenda. We will begin with Senate Bill 44, which is the religious union exemption. And then following that, we will have Senate Bill 69, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, followed by Senate Bill 18, which is a health care share ministry, not insurance hearing. So with that, I wanted to invite the sponsor of the bill, Senator Giesel, to share your bill with us and introduce your staff if he's going to be answering any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this bill has been heard before.
We have had a public testimony on this bill in a previous hearing, and that's been closed. So we've had one previous hearing on the bill.
Great. Thank you very much. So I'm going to have my aide, Forrest Wolf, go ahead and answer questions on the bill and take care of that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Forrest Wolf. I'm staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. And I don't really have anything extra to add from my last testimony, so I guess if you have any questions, I'll field those.
Okay. Are there any questions from committee members? Senator Stevens.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I must have been absent when we heard this before.
Okay.
But just so you could help me to understand it, as I understand looking at this, currently an employee or union member has a right to withdraw but from the union, but the money is collected and given to a charity of the a union's choice, and what you're asking is that it be given to a charity of the union member's choice. Is that right? But he's not a union member, but he's but that individual's. Maybe help me understand that.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, you're absolutely correct. Yes, it's.
Mention your name for the record?
Sorry. So for the record, again, my name is Forrest Wolf, staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. Correct. Yes. Right now, the union collects their fees, and in lieu of the fees going to the union, they go to a charitable organization, generally of the union's choosing. This would allow the employee to direct where those funds go, as opposed to the union.
And if I can follow up, and so I understand that the exemption that's in law right now is that if you have a religious conviction that you would not be a union member, you would pay dues but not be a member of the union, is that right?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from committee members? So as I mentioned previously, we have heard this bill once. This is a second hearing. We've closed public testimony, and there are no questions from members of the committee, so I will look to the will of the committee for this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill number 44, version 29LS0061/W-Whiskey from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so moved, and we will take a brief at ease to sign the documents. Welcome back to order, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 69, the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and this is the first hearing for the bill. It's the intention to hear from the bill sponsor, Senator Stoltz, who's here, and the department on the fiscal note and any questions. And then we will open public testimony and hold the bill until a future hearing. So with that, welcome, Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Sheriff Costello and members of the committee. Bill Stoltz, Senate District F, Chugiak, and many areas of the Mat-Su. This bill is a continuing trend of issues I've worked on trying to increase health care access for Alaskans. It's consistent with my bills to allow hygienists to do more work under collaborative agreements. It's consistent with my past work of providing licensing for foreign medical professionals in a more expedited fashion. It's consistent with my work on student loan forgiveness with other legislators for underserved and unserved areas. It's consistent with the joint work with your vice chair and others on allowing nurse practitioners to have to use their expertise in an expanded role and numerous other issues. The last time I remember real well when the last time the chiropractic practice had any major work done on it, an adjustment, if you will, was when Senator Ellis was a freshman legislator co-chairing the HES committee, and he carried a bill which one of the factors of it was allowing school physicals for chiropractors. And I remember any time you're crossing the thresholds of other people's domains, it's can be contentious, controversial, and often not unanimous. I remember the spouse, a physician of the person I was working for at the time, hated the bill, and there we're going to probably have opponents of it, and for good reasons, and some that are they're going to have their professional reasons. Some of them will be proprietary reasons, but that's what this process ferrets through, but. This is an update of the duties of which chiropractors can perform. I don't think it's overly expansive. I'm always cautious of trying to practice in areas where I don't have a license. But facilitating this discussion, I was very glad to jump on another area that could expand medical access. There's over 300 chiropractors in Alaska. Not all of them are anxious or even have a desire to participate in other activities beyond the traditional practice of chiropractic. But in many areas, we have acute shortages of just basic primary care. You all know that, and I'm not going to condescend by being on a lecture on that. But in these southeast communities, during parts of the year, very common to have a million people flood over a few months, and folks come off of a cruise ship and they think they have a sore back, chiropractic, and often it transcends into a minor treatment, or that's non-chiropractic, or more often a referral. Well, you have appendicitis, or sounds like maybe a gall, the kind of things. The chiropractor, some folks have said, well, this is getting into soft tissue. Well, a chiropractor does get into soft tissue. I think it's a muscle. You know, my muscle tissue is pretty soft anyway. So, not like the Senate President who works out regularly. But this is really the technology has changed in many professions. And 26, 27 years later, I think it's appropriate to have an update. A group that I'm real familiar with, the Alaska School Activities Association, doesn't accept chiropractors because of the ambiguity. They require an MD because they're uncertain of how the statute is interpreted. And I think appropriately they're being cautious. But for many families, having increased access, especially in a lot of rural areas, that might be somebody that can do the basic school physical. I don't expect they're the person that's going to be the examiner for a concussion, or which another statute we required, where you have to go see a physician. And I'm glad my wrestling coach was well ahead of the curve 35 years ago when I did get knocked out. He made me go to a doctor before I wrestled again. And I'm glad there was some forward thinking, because I'd even be worse than I am right now, perhaps. But there are people that can speak much more seriously and less glibly than I, the chiropractic profession. But I think I've outlined what our goals are. I don't think this is an expansive or an invasive measure into other medical fields. I'm certainly cautious about shepherding legislation that does things that are too expansive, but I think this is a, it's a simple bill, but I think it's pretty straightforward. And as always, there's probably issues that I haven't thought of or don't know of, or that other professionals that are involved in and outside of the process will have suggestions how to make any necessary changes if required. But I think I've bluffed my way through as much as I can right now.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stoltz, two things. First of all, sports participation physicals, pre-participation physicals, yes, that you have to be a physician or, remember this, nurse practitioner or physician's assistant. Those are the folks that are qualified to do them. Second piece of this is, I'm not seeing, and maybe because I'm missing it, is it in statute for school participation who can perform those physicals? I see you're changing it in the chiropractic statutes, but is there another location that I'm not seeing in here?
Yeah, Madam Chair and Vice Chair Giesel, I'm not sure on that. I guess that's why it's good not to deal with the bill in the first hearing. But I'm familiar with the chiropractic section, it very may well be that the current law does allow the school physicals for purposes of ASA participation, but they're being cautious, and that's why they're seeking legislative. Well, they're not making that decision to allow it because of what they perceive as legislative ambiguity in the statute, statutory ambiguity. So. I think they are deferring to caution, my physical was done by a physician's assistant, as I recall. We all lined up at the house, and I gave him a $20. I don't know what it cost, but that's many years ago.
And Senator Stoltz, you have a sectional. I was wondering if your aide could perhaps go through that for the committee.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brandon Vershinsky, staff to Senator Bill Stoltz. Section 1, it amends AS 20055. What it does is it's bringing Alaska up to the standards for national certification and credentialing of chiropractors. Section 2, this is the section that clarifies statute for chiropractors to perform physicals. And it also allows for the employment of certified chiropractic clinical assistants, interns, and preceptors. Section 3 is a technical section, and it's exempting chiropractic interns from the provisions of OA 2100 when they're under the supervision of a licensed chiropractor. Section 4 is also a technical change, and it's clarifying when issuing a temporary permit. Section 5 is the creation of the certification requirement for chiropractor clinical assistants. Section 6, this is a change to the review board for the chiropractors, and it's changing the word peer review to utilization review. And the reason for that, there's currently two services that are commonly referred to as peer review, and those are like complaints against a practitioner's license involving the Department of Law, and a review of services provided by the practitioner. Most reviews are just complaints, and if they were in violation of law or fulfilled the qualifications of for a review of services, they would then be referred to investigative staff under peer review. Section 7 is updating penalties and fines. It's reflecting current levels of inflation and aligning Alaska with other states. Section 8 is the same as Section 7. Section 9 We're amending the definition of chiropractic examination to include chiropractic clinical assistants and interns authorized by the board to conduct chiropractic examinations under the supervision of a licensed chiropractor. And Section 10 is adding three new definitions to 08-20-900. And those definitions are for the terms chiropractic clinical assistant, chiropractic intern, and chiropractic preceptor. So with that, includes my overview.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You are very capable. Committee aide has provided me with the statute 1430070, which already identifies chiropractors as performing physical exams for pupils and education programs. So that answered my question.
Madam Chair.
Senator Giesel, I actually missed what you said. Okay, do you mind sharing that again?
Sure. I had asked the question earlier whether the education statutes needed to be updated to include chiropractors for performing pre-participation physicals. And Weston, your very capable aide, has brought me the statute book, which actually identifies chiropractors in AS 1430070. Here it is in 1430-120 as well.
Okay.
So it answered my question. Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Stoltz, in your opinion, what are chiropractors not qualified to diagnose? Or is that something I should ask a chiropractor? Because I know we have several signed up here to testify.
But you know, I don't think you'd get a qualified answer from me. I mean, I'd have to qualify it in that it's not qualified.
Okay. Yeah. So in your estimation, then, the bill is a clarification bill that allows chiropractors to do something that they're already allowed to do, but that perhaps when individuals are taken, you know, children are taken for their physicals, that one of the major sports organizations in Alaska is not necessarily including them as someone that they're recommending the parents go to. Is that your?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's one of the reasons, and I hope to have that organization at least to get a more clarified answer. But that's been the answer that they don't accept those out of concern and deference. As they read the law.
It's my understanding that some school districts do accept the physicals from chiropractors and others don't. So that'd be interesting to know which schools do, just sort of a general overview of the state.
We'll have that.
Okay, thank you. So with that, are there any further questions for the sponsor or his staff? Okay, thank you. I'm going to invite
Madam Chair.
Oh, Senator Meyer.
I think Senator Stoltz's phone went off. That's why I didn't hear Senator Giesel, and I didn't know what the rules were of the committee.
Were the carrots a deposit, or was that?
Madam Chair, I will take very well of the committee, being the enforcer in the Finance Committee for many years. We'll make sure my transgression is adequately punished, and you're rewarded for having that happen.
I think so, because we have a Senator Giesel has experience in the healthcare industry, and I'd like to set a great example for my kids. So I don't think we want donuts, but something healthy.
Carrots will work.
Yeah. Thank you.
We'll take care of the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Stoltz. Mr. Parody?
We can't let him pass on
that. I know.
He's such a strict enforcer.
Welcome, Mr. Parody. And if you don't mind going through the fiscal note with us, and then if you're available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Before I begin the fiscal note, I just might offer a brief commentary to the last point before the committee. As Chief Operating Officer of the North Slope Borough School District for 4 years, I was responsible for activities, and our district did accept chiropractors for pre-sports clearance physicals.
Thank you. And for those online who are just listening, if you could introduce yourself.
I'm so sorry. Fred Parody, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Okay. As to the fiscal note, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, the bill adds a new license type and two additional administrative processes, which is the approval of interns and preceptors. I had to learn what preceptors are. They are a chiropractic person who supervises an intern. The division does require additional staff to support increase in licensure. The fiscal note requests one part-time licensing examiner for up to 14 hours a week to manage the estimated additional 200-plus chiropractic assistants and new intern preceptor approval processes. I would note that in the fiscal note, the cost of licensure is a worst-case scenario estimate and will likely be lower. If you look into page 3 of the fiscal note, it shows an estimated license cost of $750, but for the profession itself, in FY14, which is the last year we have complete data for, there were 314 licenses and the fees were $450 per individual license. As you know, CBPL is fully receipt supported, so this fiscal note includes no undesignated general funds. The licensees that are proposed would pick up the additional cost of their program through licensing fees.
Okay. Any questions related to the fiscal note? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Parody.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
So I have a question for Senator Giesel. Are you aware, do public health nurses have the ability to provide physicals?
I'm responding now based on ASA, Alaska Sports Athletic Association. RNs. Typically, public health nurses are registered nurses, do not qualify for doing sports physicals. You have to be an advanced nurse practitioner in that category.
Thank you. Next, I will be opening the public testimony for this bill, Senate Bill 69. And first, I will start with Sherry Ryan. Are you interested in testifying here in Juneau?
Only to answer questions.
Okay. And you are with the Alaska Chiropractic Society. I actually wouldn't mind having you come forward because I have a few questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, and go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Sherry Ryan. I'm the Executive Administrator for the Alaska Chiropractic Society.
Okay, thank you. And my question just has to do with training compared to physicians. What are the differences in training, or are there for an MD and a chiropractic doctor?
I can provide you with information that compares the education that a doctor of chiropractic receives versus a doctor of MD, but they're very similar in their educational requirements. An MD would obviously have more training because they go through rounds, they go through rotation. A doctor of chiropractic does clinical hours in school, but they don't go through specialty training like a medical doctor does. So they don't do an obstetrics round. They don't do surgery rounds, things of that nature. But they are very, education-wise, it's very comparable.
Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
And if I could follow up on your question, if you don't mind my interrupting you, but sponsor statement talks about chiropractic clinical assistants and interns. Now, that's, I need to understand who those folks are.
Chiropractic clinical assistant would be someone who works in a chiropractic office and has direct patient contact. So not the office personnel that would be checking people in and out of an office, but the people who are doing therapies and assisting the doctor and have actual patient contact.
And what kind of training and education do they have?
There's a variety of options that are out there. The Palmer College of Chiropractic has a CT program that they can go through, which is a two-year program. There are a significant number of online programs that are available for them. A chiropractic intern is a student of chiropractic who has completed all of their training and education and who wants to get basically on-the-job training supervised by a preceptor.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I actually have that on my list of questions, so I appreciate you.
Butting in.
Yes, no. Thank you. And finally, do you have a knowledge of just how many chiropractors are actually performing school physicals across the state?
I do not, but we have put out a survey, and I can certainly follow up that, Madam Chair, with some numbers.
Great.
To ask. I wouldn't say of the 300-plus chiropractors that a large portion I would follow it up with numbers for you.
And just one final question. Is there, do you know what the cost is of a physical, and would it be different depending on who the parent, you know, took their child to?
That's a really good question. No, I don't. But I can find out for you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for coming up.
Senator
Meyer.
Thank you. While you're doing your research, I was just thinking, is this unique to Alaska, or do other states allow chiropractors to do the physicals as well?
Quite a large amount do allow chiropractors to do pre-participation sports physicals. And I do have a survey that was completed in 2013 that I could follow up that, Senator Meyer. Sorry. I can follow that up. But there are a large 35 states across the United States allow doctors of chiropractic to perform pre-participation sports physicals.
Okay. No, that's good enough for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Dr. Patricia Connors-Allen is here in Juneau to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Okay. My name is Dr. Patricia Connors-Allen, and I have been in practice in Juneau since 1984. I've previously served on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and I was here in 1988, and it's so nice to see Senator Ellis last time we brought anything forward concerning this bill. I currently chair the Board of Trustees for the University of Western States in Portland, Oregon. And I have been asked to come forward and speak on the topic of preceptorship interns. So what we're trying to accomplish is to establish an avenue so that we can bring preceptorship interns into Alaska. We currently cannot do that. So what we'd like to do is have our board of examiners establish a process so that those preceptorships that want to come into Alaska, the interns can come here and be supervised by the preceptor doctor. So I'd be happy to answer any questions concerning that.
No questions? Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Dr. Barrington.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. My name is Dr. Edward Barrington, and I'm a chiropractic physician, and I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 69. I want to thank Senator Stoltz for sponsoring our bill and for giving almost my entire speech for me in the introduction. I was born and raised in Juneau, just up here on 7th Street down from the Wickersham House. And my family moved to Anchorage after the earthquake in 1964. I serve on the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, serve at the will of the governor, and I'm also chairman of two committees in the Alaska Chiropractic Society. Chiropractic as a named profession has been in existence since 1895, and along with the osteopathic profession, developed spinal care, specifically manipulation, as the focus of treatment. Since I've been practicing, and you know, in recent years, the volume of knowledge in the medical field with science and advancements in imaging, etc., you know, has required exponential growth in medical training and certification, the same in chiropractic. chiropractors practice in primary care. Many Alaskan families go to chiropractors for their health care needs. 80% or around that number of the reason people go to any physician is because of a musculoskeletal complaint. A lot of conditions manifest themselves in this regard. And we also are experts in wellness care and healthy lifestyles. Because something, for example, like lower back pain may present simple muscle strain, joint disease, cancer, kidney stones, pelvic inflammatory disease. I mean, because someone who comes into our offices may have lower back pain, obligates us to diagnose correctly, and we're trained to do that. Our training and diagnosis far exceeds our practice statute, and it is for this exact reason. Many times our area is an area that we have referred pain, and we are trained to recognize that and refer appropriately. Chiropractors all over the state refer to MRI and other radiological facilities for extra information in this regard. Senate Bill 69, again, is to bring the chiropractic statutes up to more modernization to reflect the type of changes that have occurred in the training involved with that, to bring chiropractors closer, or the law closer to the training and education of chiropractic physicians. I know the osteopaths went through similar issues back in the 70s. I remember my favorite TV show, Dark Shadows, some of you might remember, was interrupted by an ad for osteopaths saying that these people are well-trained physicians and you can go to one with the complete confidence of a well-trained medical practitioner. And we often feel in chiropractic that this is our burden to bear also, is trying to get people to understand in more clear terms what we do and perhaps give them a choice of coming to a chiropractor for their health care. Senate Bill 69 also clarifies language about our ability to perform pre-participation physicals. The ASAA, the Alaska School Athletic Association, was mentioned previously. This is a panel of wonderful doctors and healthcare individuals that care deeply about children and sports, and we've been communicating with them over many years, and I don't believe that the majority of them feel that chiropractors are not qualified. It's just that they want this to be in the language, so it specifically says pre-participation in our language. At this point, we are authorized to perform physicals on children before they enter school, and we're also authorized to keep them out of sports activities through examination. So it seems like you have to have, you can't have one without the other. There is I think Ms. Ryan is going to get statistics perhaps on how many doctors are performing these and how many school districts accept them. But this will help many parents who may have to go to a separate physician for this examination to keep going to their family doctor, who may be a chiropractor. Senate Bill 69, as mentioned earlier, will also help us regulate the training and certification of chiropractic clinical assistants. Medical assistants are trained and many times work in chiropractic offices, but they are not under the auspices of the Board of Examiners. We also have name change for the peer review committee. I think that was explained by Senator Stoltz quite fairly. And I think he explained everything else also. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Well, thank you. This was my first time.
Good job.
Hope I did okay.
Wonderful. And thank you, Senator Stoltz, for providing carrots to the committee for the infraction of your phone going off. We really appreciate that. Next, I'd like to invite Jim Heston from Homer, who's with the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Jim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Please,
Madam Chair and members of the Labor and Commerce Committee, we have been talking about these items for years. This is basic housekeeping, cleaning up the language. that we've been dealing with for a long time now. After you deal with some of these statutes for a while, you realize that they're not all perfect. This is an attempt to try to make things a little bit better for us. The fiscal note that you were just given is not, that's not really what we had intended. We just wanted to get statutory authority to regulate our assistance. We would like to further define in regulation what that will be, but we would like to use a national certification program provided through one of the other organizations, such as the Federation of Chiropractic Licensing Boards. They sponsor a program to train, test, and certify, and they are they will provide you a certificate of completion and competency, and they are required to recertify every 2 years. This way we could self-police our assistance, and we really don't want to have to come up with a $700 licensing fee to have an assistant. And we have yet to vote as a board to support this on a resolution, but I think we will probably do that.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I appreciate that. The intention is to not move this out of committee this meeting, and so that will provide some time in case that resolution is passed, and I want to appreciate you calling in. Are there any questions from committee members? Okay. Seeing none, thank you very much. Next, I'd like to invite Dr. Todd Kersey, who's calling in from Anchorage.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate Labor Commerce Committee, I'm president of the Alaska Chiropractic Society. The Alaska Chiropractic Society is a professional society. Our members are doctors of chiropractic. We provide and coordinate continuing education and training for our members, and many of our members are active in other national organizations as well. They hold key positions in those offices and in the chiropractic colleges. At this date, we have 176 members all over the state from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. As a point of reference, we have 306 active chiropractic licenses statewide. Of those 306 active licenses, 279 are actually practicing in Alaska, where the other one licensees may be practicing in another state. I've been practicing in Anchorage for 20 years as of last month, and my patients come to me from all over our state. The Alaska Chiropractic Society supports Senate Bill 69. We believe our current law is outdated, and many of our members believe it's restricting their ability to serve their patients. The bill is a responsible way to modernize our practices, as was stated before, and to serve our patients and protect the public. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else online who is interested in testifying on Senate Bill 69? Is there anyone else here in Juneau? Okay, seeing none. I'm actually going to keep the public testimony open in case there's anyone from ASAA who wishes to testify, and if not, we'll just handle that at the next meeting. So with that, I want to thank the sponsor for bringing this legislation forward, and it's the intention to have it heard at, you know, at a future meeting in the near future. So thank you. Next on the agenda is Senate Bill 18, and Senator Coghill's staff, Jordan Schilling, will be presenting the bill. This is the first hearing on this bill, and it's our intention to hear from the sponsor and the department and take public testimony and then set this aside. So welcome, Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. The Senator sends his regards. He is just tied up in meetings. So thank you for hearing the bill. This is actually the bill's second stop. The first was the Health and Social Services Committee. Left the committee unamended, and here it is. So Senate Bill 18 has two main purposes. The first is to define what a healthcare sharing ministry is, and then after defining it, the second thing that it does is exempts it from our state's insurance statutes. There's a one-pager in the members' packets that I think describes what a healthcare sharing ministry is fairly well, but what it is it's a payment arrangement for healthcare among persons of similar beliefs administered by a nonprofit organization. It's very different than insurance. And so there's really three big players in the healthcare sharing ministry industry. There's the Christian healthcare ministries established in 1990. There's MediShare that's established in 93, and then Samaritan Ministries 1994. All three of these organizations, they're biblically based. Membership guidelines vary, but they typically include things like requirements that you live a Christian lifestyle, abstain from tobacco, things like that. And just by the way, Madam Chair, Joel Noble, who represents the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, should be on the line just in case there's any kind of technical questions on how they operate. And so, as I said, the second purpose of the bill is to exempt it from our insurance statutes. So, very simply, healthcare sharing ministries are not insurance. They don't have a lot of the fundamental components that makes insurance insurance. Insurance is the transfer of risk from one entity to another in exchange for payment. And that transaction, there's this underlying assumption of a guarantee. When we sign up for healthcare, we are guaranteed that our claims will be paid, if it fits the guidelines. And those are the functions that must exist for insurance to be insurance. But healthcare sharing ministries, these 501c3 nonprofits, they don't have those characteristics. No member is compelled by law to pay anyone's medical bills. They don't assume any risk. They don't transfer risk through contracts. They don't pool money. They don't use actuaries. They don't purchase reinsurance policies on behalf of its members. And again, there's no guaranteed payment of the medical bills. Now, most states don't consider healthcare sharing ministries insurance. Our own division of insurance doesn't consider it a form of insurance. The previous administration didn't, and the one before it. And so I think that this is really a preemptive measure. There's some concern that maybe a future administration might attempt to regulate these ministries like insurance. And really, healthcare sharing ministries would cease to exist if they were subjected to some of the same requirements that the insurance industry is required. And it would destroy the voluntary ministerial nature of these ministries. So, in summary, it's not insurance, and I know here in the room we have Lori Winghire. She's the director of the Division of Insurance here in Alaska, and she, I'm sure, would be happy to tell you how they view these ministries and if they consider them insurance.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Does the committee have any questions for Ms. Winghire? She's here today.
Yeah.
Okay. If
Please.
You don't mind coming forward.
For the record, my name is Lori Winghire. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska. Thank you for having me.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to just get your opinion on this bill and what they're attempting to do from an insurance perspective.
Certainly, Senator Meyer. Through the chair, the division looks at these as certainly they're, when you join a healthcare sharing ministry, you yourself are making a commitment to the organization and trusting in the organization that they will assume the responsibility for paying your medical bills, and perhaps that's where the faith comes in. But that's a personal decision you're making, and they are allowed and specifically carved out of the Affordable Care Act that as long as they are in existence since, I believe it's 1999, but I can double check that, I know I have it in my notes, that as long as they were in existence in 1999, they are still allowed. Currently, there's about 3,500 people participating in the state of Alaska, and this is, as was previously mentioned, just trying to codify that this is ongoing in the state of Alaska and it has not been taken exception to by prior administrations, and it is allowed under the Affordable Care Act as a means for one to pay their health care cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
I don't
you.
Have any questions.
Okay,
thank you. Mr. Parody, could I have you come up and just share the fiscal note? It looks pretty straightforward at zero, but it's always nice to have that
I'm sorry, this is the Department of Labor. So Jordan, perhaps, could you come up and just go over the fiscal note? No, it's actually Commerce. I'm sorry. Go ahead and...
And Madam Chair, again, Jordan...
Excuse me, Jordan. I think someone from the department is going to be joining you. I just think it's in our best interest just to have the fiscal note on record and if there's any questions, but it's pretty straightforward.
I'm sorry. Let me... Lori Wing-Hire, again, the director. We wrote the fiscal note knowing that currently, since there's 3,500 members in the state of Alaska and they're participating, we are not collecting premium tax now. So letting them or codifying this and allowing them to continue to participate, we wouldn't be collecting premium tax in the future. So we wrote it as a zero fiscal note or pretty much a status quo, that it wasn't adding or it wasn't a positive or a negative. They're not a tax. There's no tax on them now, and there wouldn't be in the future either. But we did want to address that in the fiscal note just so people realized how it was, that there's no tax on them now.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Actually, can I ask a question?
Senator Meyer?
Yeah, I have a question. Thank you. Not about the fiscal note itself, but I meant to ask it earlier. And maybe the sponsor mentioned it and missed it. But how does a group qualify for this exemption?
As far as the exemption, the organization is set up as a 501(c). And how it is set up exactly, I think you'd probably have to talk more to the sponsor.
Okay.
And how it's set up there. And I apologize to the chair that I can't answer more how exactly it qualifies through the federal, because it's actually set up under the federal exemption.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And Senator Meyer, we do have Joel Noble, who's online with the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, and he's signed up to testify. So I think we'll take him next. Mr. Noble?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Did you hear the question from
Senator
Meyer?
I did.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Joel Noble, and I'm here representing the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries and Samaritan Ministries, one of the three national ministries. Within the Affordable Care Act, there are 9 or 10 different exemptions, depending on how you're counting them. Indian tribes, those that are incarcerated. But there's also members of healthcare sharing ministries. And it's also been shared, there's some standards they have to be in existence before December 31st, 1999, provide an annual audit upon request, and there's some others, but it's one of the accepted exemptions to the personal payment requirement for not having insurance.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, and thank you for that explanation. Why was the date 1999 picked?
I believe it was so there wouldn't be false actors or fly-by-night ministries that started, just for the sake of getting out from underneath the penalty. They wanted a date, and the three national ministries met that, and that was how the date was set, so that those that were already acting, and I believe there's another around 50 small Mennonite churches that would also qualify besides the national ministries that have been doing this very localized, like in the Amish community, that would also qualify. But it was to prevent false actors from starting it, just to get out from underneath the mandate.
Okay, and Madam Chair, so when you talk about the mandate, are you talking about the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, the individual mandate that everyone has to have insurance or make a personal responsibility payment.
Right.
So the members, individual members, don't have to make that payment.
Okay, and so what am I missing? The Affordable Care Act passed in what, 2011, 12? I forget now.
March of 10 after reconciliation,
okay.
I believe.
Okay. Yeah, so that Madam Chair, that's why I was just curious why they picked 1999. I would have thought anything prior to 2010, but...
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. But whatever Ray was came out of finance, and so it would have been Senator Baucus at the time. I'm not exactly sure what his staff was thinking, but.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess we can only speculate what they were thinking, so thank you.
Mr. Noble, I'm not that familiar with healthcare sharing ministries. Do you mind taking a moment and just giving us a little background on how they work?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm personally a member of Samaritan Ministries, and I can speak more easily to that. Each month I receive a newsletter that has some number of articles in it, but it also includes a slip that has the name of a member along with their medical need and their address, and so I know what their medical need is. And right now for a family, it is $405. So that slip says, Bob Smith broke his leg. Please pray for Bob's complete healing. Gives his name and address. I write a personal check for $405, and I mail that. Bob takes my check, and along with everyone else's check that was assigned to him, which would total the amount of his actual medical need, his bills, and he would cash those and pay his provider. So in the same way, for instance, when my kids were born, I received a dozen or so checks in the mail. I went and cashed those, paid the hospital, paid my wife's doctor, any other doctors. And so that's kind of the basic idea. It's member-to-member sharing, and it's sort of based off of the idea of kind of the Amish community, where when they have a medical need or their barn burns down, the community comes together to help them take care of that need in their life, and we've just applied that to medical needs.
Thank you for that explanation. Okay. Next, we have Jennifer Meyerhoff in Anchorage with the Alaska Association of Health Underwriters. Jennifer?
Hi, Madam Chair and members of the committee. This is Jennifer Meyerhoff. I am a health benefits consultant working in Anchorage for the past 25 years. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of the National Association of Health Underwriters Alaska chapter. We're a professional association representing over 100 licensed health insurance brokers, agents, consultants, and employee benefits specialists statewide. Our members of AHU, as we call ourselves, work on a daily basis helping thousands of individuals and employers purchase, administer, and utilize their health insurance coverage. Of significance, the majority of our members are also owners, small independent business owners. A representative group of health insurance agents and brokers helped develop these comments just to make note that they reflect the views of experts who understand the needs and interests of private health consumers who purchase coverage in both the individual and employer group market. Alaska Association of Health Underwriters is very concerned with consumer protection and the integrity of the health care and insurance markets in Alaska. That's our business. So as an association, our members work on a daily basis to help educate and assist consumers in finding affordable and appropriate health care for themselves and their families. The prohibition of oversight or exemption by the Division of Insurance under SB 18 is very troubling. Our members are aware of organizations making promises to members about having their medical needs covered, but then possibly to go unfunded by lack of oversight, leaving them really nowhere to turn for assistance. While we understand this is not insurance in the truest form, to the consumers, the 3,500 individuals in Alaska, it appears to come across with the look and feel of insurance. And most importantly, we're concerned what would be the result of an individual with a serious high cost, $500,000 or $1 million claim, or oftentimes now we do see prescription drugs that can run up to $30,000 a month. We don't know the answer to that question of how those bills will be paid. But this bill certainly does not address important consumer protections. It's for these reasons that Alaska Association of Health Underwriters stands in opposition to Senate Bill 18, and we would ask the Division of Insurance to request oversight on any organization providing health care funding to the consumers of Alaska. With that, thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Myhoff. Are there any questions from committee members? Okay. Seeing none. Are there any other members of the public online who wish to testify on this bill, Senate Bill 18? Does anyone else in Juneau wish to testify on the bill? Okay. With that, I will close public testimony, and we will be holding this bill and working with the sponsor, and we'll hear it at a future committee meeting. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, April 7th at 1:30. We will have the confirmation hearing for the Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and then bills previously heard, and my staff will get you those bills as soon as we know which ones we're hearing. So with that, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.